Again, let me express my appreciation for the opportunity to be with you today and share some thoughts from the Word of God. Let me say before I get into the lesson that this morning we had some Joss journals and they were handed out. I think all of those were. So I put some more out at the back. And if you didn't get one this morning, please pick up one of those tonight. And if you would like to get it through the mail, we still do those snail mail. And so if you'd like to get it that way, if you'll just get me your name and address, we'll put you on the mailing list and you'll get four of those per year telling about the work in Nigeria. Tonight we're talking about Hosea's message for today. And one of the ways that we can begin to think about what Hosea was saying to the people of his day that relates to us is to look at the key word. There's one word that occurs 15 times in the book of Hosea, and that is the word return. 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 I think it is true that human nature causes us many times to get off track. And what God is saying to us is return to me. Come home. I still love you. And when we think about the book of Hosea and how that message was communicated, they had a visual aid that truly just boggles the mind to think about it. Because, you know, when the instructions were given for the priest and so forth under the Old Testament law, they were to marry only in the priestly families. And they were to marry virgins. And this was just the way it was. But here God is saying to Hosea, he said, go again. Well, in the first chapter, I was in chapter 3, and that's the second time he tells her to go again and take Gomer to be his wife. In chapter 1 there, he says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take for yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry. The fact that God would ask a prophet to go and marry a woman who was a prostitute, that just boggles the mind. You know, a prophet was a spokesman for God, but God wanted the nation of Israel to get a visual image of what they were doing. The problem was that the children of Israel were not being faithful to God. They were not doing what he would have them to do. I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 53 where it says the children of Israel were a people who were to be separate for God. They were to be his people. They were to carry out his will. They were to serve him. But they were doing other things. They were too occupied. They were too busy. And so what you see is God is giving them a visual. This is what you're doing, folks. You see how Gomer is being unfaithful to Hosea. In that visual image, Hosea represents God. And Gomer, who is repeatedly unfaithful to her husband, is representing the children of Israel. I think one of the things that God and the primary message that I see from the book of Hosea is that God wants us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I truly doing everything that God would have me to do? Am I truly living in a way that reflects I am faithful, I am steadfast, I am one who believes in God, and I am one who trusts Him, and I will do whatever I can within my power to demonstrate my loyalty, my steadfastness to Him. So when you look at the situation, we get a picture of God that we might not otherwise have thought of. You know, I remember in high school literature talking about, there was one of the authors that was talking about sinners in the hands of an angry God. And it was like a spider on a web out over the fires of hell. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's not a good picture. That's not an accurate picture. That is not what the book of Hosea tells us. The message to us is that God loves us, and that when we do acts of unfaithfulness to Him, it is His desire, it is His wish that we return, that we come back home, that we come back to Him. Again, the key word of this entire book is return. Come back to God. He loves you. He wants you to be faithful to Him. Now, he was writing to the Jewish nation. And I'll be honest with you. When I read this and I think about the Jewish people being unfaithful, and he talks about political consequences for them, I think there's a message there for us as a nation of people. When discussion of religious topics and when, well, let's put it this way, when the Bible was banned, I remember in high school, there weren't many of us went to a small high school in South Alabama, and there were only two or three of us that would read the Bible. You know, we'd have a daily Bible reading at the morning before the first class. And we would usually say, quote, the Lord's Prayer. All that's gone now. Our children don't get, I shouldn't say that because my wife is a teacher. She taught some in public school, some in private school. But I don't think our children today are getting the moral and ethical instruction in public schools that really is needed. And I'm not saying that we should, you know, the Bible's the standard. And our kids need to get it. They need to get it at home. They need to get it in Bible class here or at Cedar Grove or wherever. That is fundamental to the future of our nation. I truly believe that Christians are the first line of defense for the future of America and of Nigeria and of any other nation on the face of the earth. God is the creator, and all of the creation needs to be subject to Him, needs to submit to Him, needs to be faithful to Him. And I hate to say it, but I don't see America moving in the direction of being more loyal to the Creator. And it concerns me. And I believe that we as Christians need to be the voice that is crying in the wilderness, return to Jehovah, return to the Word, return to the truth of the Word. I believe that's our obligation and our responsibility. Israel had to learn that God still loved them, and it must have been painful for Hosea, But he did what the Lord asked him to do and provided that visual image. I'm so thankful that I've had a loving, faithful wife, and I've not had to go through what a lot of people have to go through in our day and time. A lot of people look at marriage and don't even think about commitment. When you take a vow to love, honor, and cherish, you need to be faithful to that. And I've seen people suffer because their spouse was unfaithful to them. And I've even seen marriages end. I don't think that needs to necessarily end a marriage if the people can get together and come to a conclusion. Faithfulness is the way to go. But when you look at what's going on in the world today, and you see people tolerating violence and all of this kind of thing, you know, they're not thinking of Jehovah God. They're not thinking of the Creator. They're not thinking of what they need to do to make a positive contribution to the future of humanity on planet Earth. Again, I don't want to get into politics, but we, I think, are witnessing more corruption. I'm not saying that American politics has ever been everything it should be. Folks who are a lot older than me have told me, well, there's always been cheating, and I think that's probably true. But I think we're seeing corruption at a deeper level than we've ever seen it before. And what I'm saying is that we, as the Lord's church, need to be that voice that says, listen, folks, we need to get back on track. We need to return to the Word of God. We need to return to acknowledging our Creator and being faithful to Him. It's not enough, you know, sometimes people say, well, you got to go along to get along. No, you don't. No, you don't. Daniel proved you don't have to do that. You know, he was the one who went and prayed as he had done regularly. And those false accusers of his, you know, you just think about some of those Old Testament examples where one person stood and it made a difference. You know, if we disregard God's law, I saw this word and wasn't really that familiar with it, nemesis. I got out the dictionary, and what did I find? I found that nemesis in Greek mythology was the god, little g, of retributive justice. What does that mean? It means that if you break the law, there's going to be a retribution. You're going to pay for it. And so, again, I believe that's one of the lessons of the book of Hosea. If you disregard God's law, you know, and look at chapter 8 and verse 12, what he says in the 12th verse, though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, they have regarded it as a strange thing. You ever hear anybody say, the Bible? That old book? What are you reading that for? Yeah, that attitude's out there. I hope you haven't experienced it, but it's out there. There are folks who look at the Bible outdated, not relevant. What are you talking about, preacher? God said to those people, to the nation of Israel, I've given you 10,000 precepts of my law, and they've regarded it as a strange thing. Some people say, I can't understand the Bible. Have you really tried? Have you spent enough time? Have you meditated on the law of God. You look at the book of Hosea, you look at the book of Psalms, you look at other passages. And if you take meditation, you know, we hear people talk about that and we think of some strange religion. But meditate simply means to focus on, to think about, to reflect. How do we look at God's law? These people were looking at it and, oh, that's strange. We want to go another way. You know, they had neglected the law of God, and they had adopted, for the most part, many of the Canaanite practices. You know, in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, they were rejoicing about their physical prosperity. Listen to what he says. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with exultation like the nations, for you have played the harlot, forsaking your God, and you have loved harlots' earnings on every threshing floor. Threshing floor and wine press will not feed them, and new wine will fail them. They were so glad that they were prosperous, their economy was doing well, and their spiritual side was starving to death. They weren't taking in the Word of God. They weren't absorbing it and applying it and living it out day by day. In chapter 7, in verse 14, he says, "And they do not cry to me from their heart when they wail in their beds for the sake of grain and new wine. They assemble themselves, they turn away from me." They were concerned about something to eat and drink, but they had turned away from God, from Jehovah. What a tragedy indeed. But the thing is, God still loved these people. And he says to them again and again and again, "Return, return, come back to me." I went through and noted chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. God is saying, "Return to me." Chapter 3, verse 5, "Return to me." Chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 15, "Return to me." Chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 11, "Return." Chapter 7, verses 10 and 16, "Return, come back to me." Chapter 8 and verse 1, "Return." Chapter 11, verse 5 and verse 9, "Return to me." Chapter 12 and verse 14, "Return to me." Chapter 14, verses 1 and 7. And I want to particularly look at verse 19 in chapter 14. "Whoever is wise," the wise man, "whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them." Have you ever heard anybody say it's just too hard to live the Christian life? I heard a preacher say one time, and I don't even remember who it was, but I think I do, but if I can remember it exactly the way he said it, he said, "If you think serving God is hard, try serving the devil for a while." Now you think about that and take that one in and meditate on it. You know, these folks who are out carousing and drinking and doing all kinds of things, oh, they think they're having a great time, but they have no peace of mind, no joy, no peace knowing that I am using my effort, my time, my life to try to bring glory to the Creator. And I know that you here at Elkmont, as almost every congregation of the Lord's Church that I know, that you're trying to be a light in this community. And I commend you for that. And I want to say to you, when you do fall short, remember what God wants from you. He doesn't want to strike you down and knock you down because you've made a mistake. He wants you to return to Him. God wants a relationship with His people, just like a husband and wife have a relationship. And it needs to be a close relationship. And husbands and wives need to depend on one another. We need to depend upon the Creator. And He needs to be able to depend upon us. The book of Hosea is such a challenging book. He describes Ephraim in chapter 13 in verse 2, and now they sin more and more and make for themselves molten images, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. There's never been an idol that could speak a word. There's never been an idol, whether it's a golden image of a calf or whether it is a bank full of money. I have a dear friend that grew up down in Winston County, and he was one of several children, a large family. They were very poor. And I still have contact with him. And the last time he called me, he said, I now have 500 acres of land. I've got so many head of cattle. You know, I've got retirement from two or three sources. He's worked hard all of his life. But I'm tempted to say to him what somebody once said to my dad. This fellow lived close to us, and he was a farmer, and my dad was a farmer. And he had worked and been fairly successful as a farmer. In those days in South Alabama, if you didn't lose the farm, that meant you were successful. But he said to my dad, he said, you know, my dad's name was Julian. He said, you know, Julian, sometimes I feel like I've been leaning my ladder against the wrong wall, trying to climb it to get to the top. You need to be sure that your ladder is against the right wall, and that is a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. You will not be disappointed. And like in Hosea's day, he was challenging those people to return. You and I are challenged if we have allowed things to come between us and our Maker, to return to Him and be restored to a relationship with Him. He loves every one of us. If we are not right with Him, He wants to forgive us. He wants us to be in heaven with Him and with His Son, who paid the price for you and I by going to Calvary's cross. Return, return, return to me. What a challenge the book of Hosea is. And knowing that God asked Hosea to take a wife from harlotry, and even when she was unfaithful to him, there in chapter 3, the Lord says, Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. God, you know, somebody said, you know, there was a distance between them and God. And the question was asked next. God didn't move. So if there's a distance between you and God, it's because you've moved and you need to return. I hope that when you turn to the book of Hosea, and the brother pointed out to me this morning that in your daily reading schedule here, and even my daily reading schedule in the material we handed out at Cedar Grove, we're right now in the book of Hosea. And I hope that you will have a new appreciation for what that man, Hosea, did in order for us to get a picture of just how much our God loves every one of us. What a challenge to be a light shining in darkness, to stand against the tide of evil. You look at what we hear in the news about corruption in high places, and it is discouraging. But I say again, the first line of defense for any nation, America, Nigeria, Australia, any other nation you want to name, the first line of defense for any nation is a citizenry that is committed to honoring God and acknowledging His word and the truthfulness of it. Brethren, whatever happens, if we remain faithful to God, nothing else does matter, because we will have a secure place with Him in eternity. And that's what we all need to be working for. Anytime Christians come together and we talk about the Word of God, there's always the possibility that somebody in the recesses of their mind are thinking, I need to return. I need to get back into a right relationship with my Creator. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to be a Christian. You need to be a child of God. You do that by acknowledging faith in Jesus, turning away from sin, being immersed in water for the remission of sins, doing exactly what those people did in Acts chapter 2, that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. So if you need to become a Christian tonight, confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be immersed for remission of sins. If you as a Christian find yourself in a need of returning, we invite you to do that, to come back home and be restored as we stand and sing.